It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
That is right. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
It's my favorite show.
Yeah, my favorite show, too. I'm Tony Colombo. That's Chris Arps, the returning.
Yes!
Chris Arps.
Yes.
He's back. He's
good
been
to be
gone
back.
For a couple weeks. It is great to
your
have
hair's grown out,
my co-host
Tony.
Back in
you got
the
a
room.
Beard? Your hair's grown
yeah,
longer?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's my winter.
Is that it?
Yeah, I don't know how long I'm going to let it grow out, but I'm letting it grow a little bit in the winter here.
Yeah, I think I'm going to let
gone.
My hair grow
I'll
out,
I'll shave
too.
It again soon.
Do an early 90s skate cut.
Yeah, right? I could do it.
Do it.
I could. What would happen if you would grow your hair, my friend?
I would look like George Jefferson.
Keep it shaved.
Okay, I will.
Wheezy.
Wheezy!
Was that a
great start
right there?
That is,
was that to the point?
We have got a great show on tap for you today. A lot of great guests coming up. A little bit later on in the show, we are going to have a very historic version, edition of the Weird News Challenge. Our buddy Skip Weber will, of course, be here. Trish Gazelle from 102.5, the Christmas music station, will be here. And Chris Arps is here. And those three people are all tied for the second most wins in the history of the Weird News Challenge. So one of them is going to win today, and then that person will be tied with Katie Fitzpatrick for the most wins in the history of the game. We're going to try to get Katie in here soon to play against whoever that person is. And
Tony, one thing I've never asked.
Yes.
You know, we've been playing this game for about a year now.
Mm-hmm.
We're keeping tags of,
mm-hmm.
of who is in the lead and all that.
Yep.
Is there ultimately a prize here for an ultimate winner, or are we just playing for prize?
Maybe.
Is there a belt? Or
maybe.
Or a... You know,
oh, wait, in 2019, that should be something we do, like a belt.
A belt, yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
World Wrestling Federation,
like
a belt.
You know, like the state, you know, like when in college football, when the two state schools play each other and there's like a bell or something on the line, or the a cup of some sort on the line, like some kind of Weird News Challenge cup.
That may help
that gets passed along.
One of those plastic cups that they throw out at parades.
Yeah.
Like with
yeah, it's
got to
be something really cheap.
That may motivate me to, like, really get in
the
get into this
report,
and win.
The Weekend Report budget, not much.
Oh, okay. Is it up to $3 yet?
It's whatever you and I have in our pocket.
Okay.
That's the budget.
I have lint
yeah.
in my pocket right,
right
now.
So, yeah, might be a styrofoam cup. But that Weird News Challenge with Skip Weber coming up a little bit later on. Also in the second hour of today's show, we're going to talk to Missouri State Senator Bill Eigel. He is working to eliminate the earnings tax in St. Louis and Kansas City. And I want to talk to him about that and some other issues that are facing the Missouri lawmakers as we enter the new year and the new session. Our buddy John Royce from Mortuary Royce Jewelry is going to be joining us a little bit later on. And Burgess Owens, the great Burgess Owens, Super Bowl champion, best-selling author, has a brand new book out, and we'll talk to him about his book, and we will talk to him. He has a very strong stance on the criminal justice bill.
Yes.
That is looks like it's going to be going in front of Congress before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like they're gonna get to the criminal justice bill before they break for Christmas. So that is happening right away, and we will talk to Burgess Owens about that. He's coming up in the very next segment, so don't go far. All of that and more coming up on a great edition of the Weekend Report. Let's start the show like we do every week with what we call the Week in Review. We'll go rapid fire through some of the big headlines of the week as fast as we can. Let's start with John Kelly leaving the White House. What effect, my friend, is that going to have on the White House, and who replaces him?
Well, you know, I've heard talk, and this is a kind of scary, but there's been talk that Jared Kushner is being the president's son-in-law is being considered as chief of staff.
You think he'd do that?
Yes.
Yeah,
because
I do too.
I think he would do it because it looks like no one else wants the job.
Well, you know what? He really, listen, the president screwed this up because he had it in... He thought that he had it wrapped. At least by all reports, it seems like he thought that Mike Pence's secretary or
his chief of staff.
His chief of staff,
Nick Ayers,
was going to be the person that just slid right into that mm-hmm. position. Apparently, they'd even done some interviews, and I think the president obviously didn't confirm with Nick Ayers that he would take the job as soon as John Kelly left. John Kelly's out. Trump then apparently offers it to Nick Ayers, who says no, and now Trump's kind of in a lurch.
Yeah.
You'd think that you'd have that other side buttoned up before you made the move.
I think Nick Ayers, I don't think it was personal against the president or anything.
I think
Nick Ayers is going to be running a super PAC that's going to be dealing with President Trump's reelection.
Yeah.
So I think he wants to be on that side of the equation when it comes to the reelection, and he can make a whole lot more money than he's going to make as the president's chief of staff. You know, as we know, the president says he's his own chief of staff. And the traditional role of the chief of staff is to be a gatekeeper so that not everyone barges into the Oval Office and talks to the president.
Right.
And I think John Kelly filled that role pretty well.
He stopped
people from doing that. But the president is his own chief of staff, basically.
But we saw what an impact John Kelly did have, because before John Kelly, when Rance Priebus was the chief of staff, it was a leaky, leaky, leaky building.
Yeah.
And John Kelly locked up a lot of those leaks, and we weren't getting all that information leaking out from this person and that person. And everybody was apparently able to just walk in and talk to the president whenever they wanted to. Mm-hmm. So it's an important spot, and it's going to be interesting to see who does fill that spot. Obviously, if he goes with Jared Kushner, you know, that'll just give Democrats a chance to just really rail on him. But he's the kind of guy that doesn't care. He'll put there whoever he wants.
And I think what the president is looking for, I don't think the president is looking for a traditional chief of staff to run the staff and be a gatekeeper. I think he's looking for a political figure with reelection coming up to kind of run politics from the Oval Office and to do that role. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why Nick Ayers was being considered.
Yeah.
So if the president's son-in-law doesn't take the job, and if they do find someone to be chief of staff, I think it's going to be a politico more than a organizer.
Chris, you've worked in politics a long, long time. What did you think of the Trump, Schumer, Pelosi public debate in the Oval Office? I found it fascinating, and I think that we should see more of that. I think that we should be privy to those debates. You know, people that are like, oh, well, you don't want to see the ugly side of politics. Yeah. Look around the world. Look at Parliament.
Yeah.
Over in the UK. I mean, they're screaming at each other. They're debating in full throat, and their country doesn't fall apart. Yeah. So, you know, I feel like there should be more transparency, because you saw Schumer and Pelosi keep on saying, oh, let's do this behind closed doors. Let's take this to a private debate. Why?
Yeah.
If you're not dealing with national secrets, if you're not talking about, hey, this is where we're going to hide the troops and this is when we're going to attack, like, I get why that can't be public. But when we're talking about the border, something that everybody has an interest in, and there's no secrets necessary, let's hear the whole thing. What did you think? I thought it was fascinating to watch that.
I think it was fascinating to watch, and I think that the Democrats want to keep things undercover and don't want this public, because if you really look at their position, they want open borders. And I think that the president is going to win on this issue, because I think in the next week or two or coming weeks that he's going to again trot out families whose family members were murdered by an illegal immigrant. I think he's going to talk about ISIS recently saying that they want to conduct car attack bombs in Washington, D.C. So you put all that together, and you compare that to the Democrats just want open borders and we don't care who comes in, you know, they should give them asylum. I think it's a winning issue for the president and for Republicans, and I don't see them winning it. And I think the president is relishing that and says, bring it on, because I will beat you guys over the head with this all day long. And I think what we saw in the White House, where they want to just shut off the cameras, let's get going, proves that.
Yeah, I can't stand Nancy Pelosi, and it was really on display in this moment where she was sitting there with the president saying, oh, let's do this in private. Let's do this without them here, and indicating the press.
Which is their allies,
and then,
which seems kind of weird.
And then 20 minutes later, she's in front of the press.
Right.
And somebody asks her, well, why didn't you want to do this in public? And she said, oh, I didn't want to. The president was giving some misinformation, mm-hmm. and he was incorrect on some of his facts. And I didn't want to call the president out and make him look foolish yeah. in that setting. Yeah. I wanted it, but you're doing it right now yeah, exactly. to the press. Who exactly. falls for that? Who is the dumb liberal Democrat Nancy Pelosi supporter that is sitting there going, "Oh, that makes a lot of sense, Nancy. She's so good," and doesn't realize that she's obviously lying because she has no problem yeah. saying that the president is, yeah. doesn't understand or has misinformation because she's telling the press right now. So exactly. why couldn't you do it 10 minutes ago?
Can I ask you a question
yeah,
that's dealing with this a little
Please
bit?
Please do.
What's your view on the migrant caravan people saying they want 50 G's to go home?
That was my next question.
Okay. What's your view on that, Mr.
Yes,
Colombo? 50 G's or we're invading?
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. The migrant group said that they delivered an ultimatum to the Trump administration this week. They presented a list of demands to the consulate, the U.S. consulate in Tijuana. One of those demands was pay each migrant $50,000 to go home or they were coming in. Let's see. Other demands were that deportations be halted immediately, that asylum seekers be processed faster and in greater numbers. And the $50,000 figure was not just plucked out of the air. They said it was that number was chosen because with $50,000, they can each go back to their home country and start a small business.
Do we know if that money's tax free?
The other demand on the list was that the United States remove, the Honduran president from power.
Yeah.
So we're supposed to go down there and kick a president right. out of power and give each one of them $50,000 so every single one of them can go back and start a small business.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? You know, the Honduran leader of the of this migrant caravan that was asking for this $50,000, it was revealed that he hasn't been back to Honduras in 30 years because he was convicted of terrorizing a Chinese restaurant. So he is a terrorist, basically himself, and he wants to have these folks come into our country, and we give them 50 grand, or you got to come in.
We got to go fast because we're almost out
got
of time.
It.
I'm going to blend two stories together here. Ready? Mika Brzezinski called Secretary of State Mike Pompeo a wannabe dictator's butt boy
wow.
this week.
Could
you imagine?
Really
that's Mika Brzezinski using the term butt boy.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, mm-hmm. somebody like that, were to use the term butt boy, their career would be over, their show would be off the air, they would be labeled homophobic, and it would be done. Mika says it just fine. The other one that I had was, where'd it go? Oh, Vox, the news organization, Vox, says that the Constitution needs to be fixed ASAP. That's a quote, fixed ASAP, so that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez can run for president. She's too young to run for president right now under the guidelines of the Constitution because you have to be 35. And they say it needs to be fixed immediately so Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez can run for president. How maddening are those
two
stories?
So they're basically saying that.
How about those two stories?
So they're basically saying that the Democratic Party's bench is so light that they need to change the Constitution so we can elect a underage socialist as our president.
Yeah, because she's got all the momentum. They said she's got all the momentum. She's the biggest star in the Democratic Party. She's got the best chance of beating President Trump, according to them.
Yeah.
And this arbitrary, in their words, arbitrary age restriction mm-hmm. needs to be eliminated.
You know, this makes me think of Maya Angelou's favorite saying, is that when people tell you who they are, mm-hmm. listen to them. And
yes.
I think the Democrats are telling
yes.
us just who they are. They are socialists, and they want to change the Constitution to fit their agenda and everybody else be down.
Right. That is going to have to wrap it up. The other one I wanted to talk about, we don't have time, the unity ticket idea of running Joe Biden and Mitt Romney together.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, right.
It's beautiful.
No chance of that
Kumbaya,
ever.
Kumbaya, my lord.
No
Kumbaya.
Chance of that winning ever. All right. Like I said, it's a very, very busy weekend report. Chris Arps is back, and we are going to talk to our buddy Burgess Owens. Always great to talk to the Super Bowl champion. Looking forward to it, so don't go anywhere. It's the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1.
Now you can hear us, Burgess, right?
Yeah.
All
right. Can you hear me okay?
Right.
Can you guys hear me okay? I have
yes,
my
sir.
Earphone
yeah.
on.
Is that, yes.
is that? We are just good. Went through a right. major complete station software yeah. update, and it is just not running smooth today.
And that's talking a little extra stress at the wrong time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, Burgess, Tony okay. Colombo here. You heard Chris
hey,
Arps. Man. Yeah, great to talk to you. Chris Arps is here, of course, as well. Yeah, thanks for bearing with us through that. Like Ryan just said, we've completely updated the computer software throughout the whole building here, all the radio stations, and there's just been a couple of hiccups that
yes.
have been
a couple.
No,
yeah.
no problem, guys. Yeah. We're good to go. We're
yeah,
to go.
We got you connected now, and we're all good. So there'll be a little. Oh, go ahead.
How
go ahead.
Time, how much time are we looking for? Just so I can make sure I pace myself.
10 to 15 minutes, if that's okay.
Oh, that's fine.
All right.
Absolutely fine.
Great. So there'll be a little bit of silence here, and then you'll hear some music, and then we'll be recording. And this will air tomorrow at about 5:20 p.m. Central Time. So this will be
okay.
on. This will be Saturday afternoon is when this will air.
And you're Mountain, right?
Okay.
You're Mountain Time?
I'm Mountain Time,
okay.
yep.
Yeah,
yep.
very good.
So that works out.
Okay. All right.
All
so,
right, buddy. That
All right.
good.
Yep, so here we go. Whenever
okay.
whenever Ryan's ready, we'll like I said, you'll hear a little music and we'll be rolling. Oh.
Okay.
Yep. Oh yeah, come on in. We got gonna do a quick interview with Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo in studio with the returning Chris Arps.
Yes.
And producer Ryan Wiggins is in the studio as well. And joining us on the phone, as I mentioned just a minute ago, our good friend Burgess Owens,
All right.
author and Super Bowl champion. Burgess Owens joins us on the phone. Great to talk with you, Burgess. How are you?
Great, Chris. Looking forward to chatting with you guys.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
It's yeah. too long, guys. See you later.
No kidding. Well, how you been?
Been real good. It's, you know, the new book just came out, so been busy with that. And it's good to see that the players finally got the message, probably from up high, that they need to stand up and move on and play the game. So that's all good.
Excellent.
But, yes.
I think things are going well, guys. I'm just excited about the Christmas season and ready to spend some downtown with the family. So everything's
yeah.
well.
Oh, that's great. So the old book, Liberalism, or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps, is already a great book. Tell folks about the new book and how they can get their hands on it.
It's called Why I Stand, From Freedom to the Killing Fields of Socialism. And for those who take a look at the cover, it kind of speaks to what I'm talking about. You see a young man kneeling. You see on the right side the image of President Lincoln, and on the left side a flag. And basically the message is this: if we as men stand up, stand for our country, stand for our values, and the Judeo-Christian values that our country's been built on, remember our history, and be appreciative of a country that gives us the opportunity to dream big, then we can teach our young men to kneel in prayer and be thankful themselves for being Americans. And once we get back to that, we get our good old American way back, and we pull ourselves away from this abyss of socialism, which has been a very evil and dark and hurtful thing for generations. Anybody who understands socialism knows that's the last place we'll ever want to be. So it's a book that deals with all of that.
Burgess, you've been fighting this battle for years now, going out. We've had you here in St. Louis several times, giving speeches, talking to groups of people. I'm not going to say that you're out there, fighting against the Democrats or fighting for the Republicans. I would say more, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you're just your message is to open your eyes and don't
yeah.
blindly follow one side or the other just because you've been told that that's the thing to do. Go out there and find out the party or the people in government that are working for your best interests and support them no matter what political party they may belong to. If I'm right about that being your message, how's it gone over the last few years? Do you feel like you've opened some eyes? Do you feel like some people are sort of crossing over maybe and doing things that they would have never done in the past?
Well, I think you just hit it spot on. Basically, what Americans have always done is we put our country first. God, country, and family has always been the primary focus of our mission, our lives. And once we start putting politics above that, then we begin to drift in the wrong direction. And I'm just one of many voices out there. I'm thankful that Americans do the very best. What we do is once we understand we're in a fight, we stand up, we man up, and we fight. And that's what we've understood over the last couple of years. We happen to have a president who's been able to toe the line and actually draw a red line to say, no, we will not disrespect our flag, our country, our culture, and our borders. We're going to stand up against that. So we have someone who's not politically correct, who's saying the right thing. Might not say it exactly the way most people will say it, but he's saying it in a way that's getting the word through. And at the end of the day, it's the American people that are waking up. It's the black community that's finally waking up. We now have 30, went from 16% that were pro-candidate Trump. That's 36% that's pro-President Trump. It's because it's getting results. It's getting the people the opportunity to dream big and know that they can get their hopes up again and instead of these false promises that the left has given us through all these years.
Excellent. You know, Burgess, I am a member of the National Project 21 Leadership organization. A bunch of us, we write articles, we do radio and television interviews on current events. One thing that surprises me about Project 21 is they came out this week against the president's criminal justice reform bill, the First Steps Act. And one of the main problems that they have with it is the provision that gets rid of minimum sentencing. I have come a long way on criminal justice reform. I used to take the tack that, hey, if you weren't breaking the law and doing what you need to do, you wouldn't be in the criminal justice system. And if whatever you have to deal, whatever the consequences that results from that. But I have come to a more progressive, for lack of better words, kind of stance on where I feel that we do need some type of criminal justice reform. What is your position, your stance on President Trump's criminal justice reform bill, and do you agree with Project 21 that the minimum standards should still be in place? Minimum sentencing standards should still be in place?
Yeah, first of all, I've gone through the same evolution you have, Chris. It's interesting. And by the way, for those who are not familiar with Project 21, they've been in the fight, black conservatives, for a long, long time. I respect that organization. I think this is one thing that we have to understand what has happened to our race, to our men, because of not having the latitude for people to take a look at individuals and see their heart, see what they're trying to get done. This is a country of second chances. If we ever lose the fact that this country is the one place that if you decide to use a free agency, decide to change your actions because you're looking back and reflecting on what you've done, you should be able to go from that point of being a productive human being if given opportunity. And we have things in place where no matter who you are, it's like cookie cutters, and no matter what your potential might be or your heart might be, that they place you in a place that can set you away forever. We have young men that are 16 years old that get 99-year sentences. It's a lifetime in which it's actually they take everything that's given to them in terms of the hopes and dreams of this country is taken away from them. So I'm excited actually about this process, the fact that we're now talking about giving kids and men a second chance. Now we have to do the job of once they come out is give them an opportunity to get jobs, to get homes, to be able to take care of their families. And I think that's going to be the next stage of this step here, to give these folks a chance to become American, productive Americans once again.
And Burgess, I know that you have an organization that you work with that deals with criminal justice reform and social issues of that nature. Talk a little bit about your organization.
It's called One Heart, and you're absolutely right. It's actually one of the few organizations focused strictly on juvenile correction. And in our country, 70% of our kids, when they go into the system, they come out and they go back within months. And the reason why, and this is to the point, Chris, we were talking about earlier, we have a society in which, in the case of California, 75% of the young black boys in the state of California cannot pass standard reading and writing tests. When you have that kind of system, when you have where 82% of our black boys across this country the last 8 years cannot find jobs because of minimum wage, all the other things the leftists have put in place, they have been put in a position where they really have no hope. They have no chance, and they have no opportunity to understand how to succeed. And therefore, it is truly a direct route to jail and to stay there. So what we're doing in our case, One Heart, is we'll teach you guys how to think differently, give them opportunities to get education and jobs and come out with hope and with a mentorship process that kind of surrounds them, that allows them to begin to think themselves out of this this cage that the leftists have put them into. And once they come out, I truly believe that this generation, the generation of kids that the left is throwing away as trash, they can be our treasures. And once they get it, they will get it and bring our country back, because they will love our country, be appreciative of the opportunities they'll be given to have a second chance. And that will bring us back from the abyss of socialism.
Talking to the great Burgess Owens. Burgess, as I think about the message that you have been out there fighting for and talking to people about for the last several years, I think about what's the next step. And for me, and I want to get your thoughts on this, and maybe you already know what the next step is, and you're working on it. But for me, one of the things that I look at and I'm a little disappointed in is on a national level, the amount of Black African American in leadership position, Congress people, Senator Tim Scott. I love Senator Tim Scott, but I hate that he's the only Black senator in the United States, in the Republican Party. Is that the next really important step? Is to get Black representation, conservative Black representation on a national level, and how important would that be to the cause that you're fighting for?
That's a really good question. It really is, Tony. And I'll tell you what my thoughts. I'm going to put down solutions into three words: education, entrepreneurship, and empowerment. We have to recognize that our future as a country and as a race and as a people will not come through politicians. It's going to come through entrepreneurship. It's going to come through the fact that we're educating ourselves to where we can start to be critical thinkers, thinking outside the box, finding solutions, getting paid real big because of it, and then turning back and serving other people because we are good-hearted entrepreneurs. So, no, I don't think it's going to be in politicians. Politicians, whatever happens very simply, they become elitists. They get into this little bubble, and before you know it, no matter whether right or left, they begin to see themselves quite different than the rest of the people out here that are actually struggling from day to day. So once we educate ourselves, and remember the socialist Karl Marx, his statement was, the first battleground is rewriting of history. We steal our history, we steal our past and our vision for our future. The first thing we need to do is what Booker T. Washington did back in 1900. Let's start educating ourselves. Let's start looking at Ed as being entrepreneurs. In the process, we're going to empower ourselves to the point where we don't need a John Lewis or even a Senator Scott to wait to do the things that we could be doing for ourselves. Let's man up and own ourselves, own our future, and we do that becoming entrepreneurs. And that's what happened in the early days when 40% of Black community was entrepreneurs, and we led in every category of success we can think of during the early 1900s.
Burgess, can we talk a little politics for a minute?
Yeah, let's do it.
You know what? Let's talk about Mia Love. Mia Love was the African American congresswoman in Utah. You live in Utah as well. You both are members of the Church of Latter-day Saints. I didn't follow her career very closely there in Utah. I knew who she was, but I didn't really follow her votes, follow her career. Explain to us exactly why she lost, and why were her elections so close in a very red state?
Very simply, Mia betrayed her base. Very simply, I was a very strong Mia Love advocate. I was a MC at one of her events. I went to and got on the phone and did the phone deal because I thought she was a true conservative. What I found out is that Mia is pretty much a moderate. And she not only did she vote as a moderate, she voted against it. She's a never Trumper. And whenever she had an opportunity to go on CNN, she put down President Trump as a racist. And now, personally, the only reason I would vote for Mia is because, and I like Mia as a person. I wouldn't say that. But as a politician, I'm not looking for politicians who want to be politicians. I'm looking for people who want to stand up and do what they say they're going to do and stand for the American people. In my case, I'm a conservative. I don't want to have Republicans in office who are not going to be conservative. So at the end of the day, that's why Mia lost in this very red state. And it has nothing to do with Black or white. We need to get past the race deal. It has to do with the issues and what you stand for. And if you truly keep your promises, and in this case here, she did not keep her promises, and therefore she lost. So my hopes are the next time we get someone to go up against a Democrat today to win, that it's a true conservative that will not change once they step into the D.C. area and be the kind of politician we all need to have and that represents us as conservatives.
You know, unfortunately, after she did lose her election, she did kind of bash President Trump, and that really didn't sit well with a lot of people around the country. How did that sit with the good folks there in Utah?
I think what happens, unfortunately, with a lot of these politicians, including those that are moderates or liberals on as a Republican, is they start looking at new jobs once they leave here. I think Mia is probably trying to work with CNN. And all you have to do is get on CNN and be a black Republican who puts down the president and calls everybody who disagrees a racist, and you will definitely get a long-term gig. So it doesn't fit well. There's always that voice out there. There's always going to be cross-board from the right to the left. What I would hope everybody would do, and we touched on this earlier, let's not look at ourselves as Republicans or Democrats. Let's look at ourselves as Americans and look at our values and principles first. If we vote on values and principles versus politicians and party, we're going to find what is the best thing to protect our country, to make sure our families are surviving, to make sure that our men are getting jobs, to be provided for their families, and be able to teach your kids how to respect womanhood. All those things happen if we vote values and principles first. And those values come down to the Judeo-Christian values this country was started on, will survive on, and what the left is trying to define and defeat and undermine.
We've got about a minute. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. If we do that, then we'll be okay, no matter what party we kind of lean towards.
We've got about a minute left. What would you say to critics who say that the Republican Party needs to be a big tent and we need Mia Love and moderates like those in the party?
Well, it comes down to this. The big tent is those who agree and those that adhere to Judeo-Christian values. If you're anti-family, if you're anti-black, if you're anti-education, then we don't need that in this tent. Go to another tent. The tent we need are those who still stay focused on the values that made our country great. And let's have the courage to stand up for it and not diffuse ourselves because we're trying to please everybody. Let's be who we're supposed to be, guys, and those who irrespective will be drawn to us.
Hey, Burgess, our buddy Skip Weber is here. He was bragging about your book before he walked in, and he wants to ask a question. Go ahead, Skip.
No, I don't want to ask a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Burgess, I just want to tell you, I love your book. I appreciate you writing it. I have a copy for myself, and I just purchased one for every male member of my family.
Wow.
For Christmas. It's going to go in every male member of my family's stocking. It's a must. It's in my mind, it's must read. For
everybody.
Yeah, I think for anybody that has the moral values and Christian values and outlook on life. I really like it, and I just want to thank you for writing it.
Skip, thank you, my friend. You just made my day.
I really
appreciate talking with you guys. We got to do this a lot more.
Okay? For sure. That is the great Burgess Owens. He's an author. He's a Super Bowl champion. And the brand new book, Why I Stand, is out. Burgess, one more time, tell people how they can buy the book and hopefully get it in time for Christmas or just, get it in time to read it.
Please do go to Amazon. If you want to get an autograph, go to my page at my website, Facebook, or a Twitter page. And, of course, my website is BurgessOwensTalks.com. So either way, guys, reach out. It's a great Christmas gift. And Merry Christmas, guys. I really appreciate the chance to talk to you guys before the end of the year. So it's been a real pleasure,
Burgess.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Thanks for everything you've done for this show and all the things you've done for this radio station in 2018. And if we don't talk to you before the new year, I hope that you have a happy new year and we continue to talk to you a whole bunch and see you again back here in town in 2019.
Look forward to it, my friends.
Awesome.
All the best. Have a good one.
All right. Great stuff there from Burgess Owens. Got to take a quick break. Got plenty more Weekend Report coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's FM News Talk 97.1. My pretty little princess giving me sexy dreams. Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo and Chris Arps.
Chris Arps
back in the building and dancing.
Love me some Perry Woods.
Yeah, that's right. Great Perry Woods provides all of the music here on the Weekend Report. Ryan Wiggins, producer of The Stars, in the studio as well. And big thank you to Burgess Owens. Just wrapped up a great interview with Burgess. If you missed it, don't forget you can just download the radio.com app, like the radio station on the app, and you will have access to a live stream of the radio station and all of the shows, all of the shows here on the radio station podcast. So you can go back and select any of the shows here, you know, Mark, Annie, Dave Glover, and you can go back and listen to all the shows, and you can do that with our show as well, The Weekend Report. So if you missed that interview or you want to hear it again, just download the radio.com app, and with a click of a button, it's absolutely free. You can go back and listen to all of the episodes of The Weekend Report and all the other great shows here on the radio station.
And our podcast is first.
Our podcast is first on the website. Yes, yes. I don't know if it's first on the app, but it is first on the website. You go to, yeah, you can do all that on our website too. Just go to 971talk.com, click on podcasts. Same thing. All of the shows, all the podcasts are there, and it's absolutely free. So two easy-peasy ways to enjoy the radio station and not miss anything that we do, including another great interview that we have on deck right now. Our friend John Royce from Mortuary Royce Jewelry, one of the great sponsors of this show, is on the phone with us. And, John, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. How are you, my friend?
Good evening, guys. How we doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Teased last week that we would be talking to you this week.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, and you know, and you and I, we had you on the phone a few weeks ago, and we sort of teased this as well. But you have been
we couldn't give away all the secrets.
No,
okay?
Yeah, that's right. But we can roll it out now, and that is you have been working on a project for my family, for my mom. You know, I've talked a lot on this show and the Dave Glover Show and others about my father who passed away just over a year ago of cancer. You know, these types of tragedies are things that many families that are listening and many people that are listening have had to deal with. And something really cool that my mom did with your help was turn some of his jewelry into her jewelry so she can take, you know, so she can have his, you know, him with her everywhere she goes. And talk about the piece that you made for mom.
Well, I think the first thing is, you know, I have to congratulate, you know, you for the show and for sending the family members down. But I got to tell you, that's probably the best part of my job is, as you know, we have all the private offices up here, so it's not like a street-level store where you're just kind of standing at a counter. And I think under the circumstances, and this would apply to anything when anybody comes in, I mean, we take it very seriously, and we sit down and we have a one-on-one meeting with these people because, you know, it's a personal thing, and I think it should be kept that way. So for us, it was really great to be able to sit down and visit with your mom and go through and understand what she was going through and to help her through this is for one thing. So, but the piece is, oh my God, it was absolutely fantastic. So, you know, we were able to take some of the diamonds from the old engagement ring and we made a spectacular necklace for mom, which, as you know, she's gotten already and thrilled to death with.
She loves it. It's beautiful. And she has nothing but great things to say about the piece and about the service that you provided there, of course. And for people that are listening, it's really important to say, like, oh, that's great that, you know, Tony's mom got such great service, but that's because Tony's on the radio and John's part of the show. And this... You didn't give me or my mom any special. This is what you do for every customer that walks in the door at Mortuary Royce Jewelry, and this is why.
I felt bad for your mom because she's got to put up with you. So right off the bat, I kind of felt sorry for the woman.
That's
right.
But this is why truly why Mortuary Royce Jewelry is such. It's more than a step above. It's light years above anybody else because of this customer service and the focus on getting the right piece for every customer that walks in the door. It's a completely different experience than anybody that is used to walking into a mall or, like you said, a street level store. It's a totally different experience. And once you do it one time, you will never go back because you, John, and everybody out there at Moritz Royce Jewelry, the great staff out there, David, John, your son, Stacy, everybody, wonderful folks, and it's just you'll never go back to buying jewelry the old way once you've experienced the Moritz Royce.
Well,
way.
You know, I think the and put in very simple terms, we care.
Yes.
I think that's the main thing. You know, it's an unfortunate set of circumstances today, and I think your listeners will realize this. It, no matter what product you buy, and not necessarily just jewelry, but you go into so many places, and the person behind the counter, well, they just don't care. You know, you're just simply a number, a transaction, and how quickly can we get this done? And that's the difference for us is, yeah, we have great customer service, but I think it's because we care about our customers. And, mm-hmm. and it reflects on not just you and your show, but anybody else that listens to the show. So it's very important for us.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing experience for anybody. And my mom likes jewelry, okay? So she's been to a lot of jewelry stores over the years, and she feels and before she met you and before she did the Moritz Royce, went through the Moritz Royce experience, you know, she thought that she had, you know, a salesperson at this whatever particular store that was her guy, you know, like, you know,
right,
I know
right.
that I can go to this place and talk to so-and-so, and they're always going to take care of me because I've been here before. And, you know, she thought that she had that in a few different places. And then she had, you know, one time with you and the staff up there at Moritz Royce and realized that, you know, what she could have had as far as like the, having a guy or having a girl, you know,
right.
having a friend, you know, you provide that for every single one of your customers, no matter if it's their first time in or somebody that's been in, you know, 100 times.
Well, sure, because I think, you know, with mom, I think that, you know, she was very understanding with jewelry. So it was somewhat easy to talk to her and be able to tell her, here's what we're going to do. You know, she really understood it. But, you know, think about the guys coming in that are getting engaged for the first time.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, we're guys. We don't know about jewelry.
Right.
So for us to be able to sit down, and we would take the same amount of time with a young man that's coming in that's looking for an engagement ring, mm-hmm. we'll take as much time with him and explain it because, you know, he's just starting out. So
yeah.
he needs to understand things. But, yeah. you know, again, I come back to the fact that, you know, we really care about our customers and we want to make sure that they are 100% happy.
Only got about a minute left here, John. One last question before we let you go. Is it too late
Absolutely.
For somebody to come in and get something made in time for Christmas?
Well, you know what? We've got an extensive inventory. I mean, we've got a ton of stuff, and we've got a lot of stuff from Simon G. So we have a lot of things. We have a shop on premise. So as far as a custom piece where we'd have to make something from scratch, that's probably not going to get done. But we have such an extensive inventory. We can modify pieces and absolutely get it in time for them for Christmas. So not a problem at all.
Absolutely. Great stuff. Before we let you go, tell folks exactly where you are located, because that's part of the deal. That's part of the wonder of Moritz Royce, of the Moritz Royce experience, being up on the 15th floor out there. So tell folks where you guys are located. Yeah, go ahead.
We're in the tower, which is that huge 25-story building across from the Galleria on Brentwood, and we're up on the 15th floor. They can give us a call, set up an appointment, or go to the website, and we'll be more than happy to accommodate anybody.
Awesome. mr-diamonds.com is that website. But make an appointment, go out there and sit down, and I always tell people, just do it one time. Go out if you're buying jewelry, just go see the staff out of Moritz Royce Jewelry one time. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And, you know, if in the worst, you know, you can blame me for wasting a few minutes of your time. But I think if you go up there and you go experience it one time, you'll never go back. It's that good at Moritz Royce Jewelry. So, John, thanks for everything you do for this show and the station. And thanks for everything you did for mom. And we'll talk to you again real soon. OK,
sounds great. Appreciate it.
Awesome
thanks, stuff. Buddy.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye now.
See you later. That is John Royce from Moritz Royce Jewelry. Great stuff from him. And we got to take a break, but we have an entire second hour of the Weekend Report coming up. In that second hour, we're going to talk to Missouri State Senator Bill Igel, and we're going to have a very possibly historic edition of the Weird News Challenge. Our buddy Skip Weber will be in for that. So don't go anywhere. It is the Weekend Report. Got a whole another hour to go. It's FM News Talk, 97.1. Walking under the stars, no sandals, toes in the Hello and welcome back to hour number two of the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo in studio with my partner Chris Arps, who is back.
Yes.
Great to see you.
Boy, these hours just go so, guys, so quickly.
Yeah, you just never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it just feels like we just got started and here we are.
It almost does.
Hour number two. I want to remind folks that if you did miss hour number one, we talked to our friend Burgess Owens in that hour and broke down some of the issues of the day. You can always go to our website, 971talk.com, and you can click on podcasts. You'll see all the shows on the radio station. You can download podcasts right there from the website, including this one from the Weekend Report. But even easier and even cooler, in my opinion, is to download the radio.com app. Radio.com app available on, Galaxy, iPhone, all of you, easy to get, radio.com app. And when you do that, you favorite the radio station, FM News Talk 97.1. And after you do that, once you click on the station, you can, again, just click on podcasts. You can see all the different shows that are here on the radio station, and you can just push play on any episode of any of the shows here on the station. And you have the podcast right there at the touch of a button in your phone. So easy, so cool. It's free. And so there's no reason to ever miss an episode of The Weekend Report or any of the great interviews we do here or any of the other shows here on the radio station. Get it all at the radio.com app. Got a big hour in store for you. The Weird News Challenge with our buddy Skip Weber is coming up in just a little bit. But right now we are joined on the phone by Missouri State Senator Bill Igel. Senator Igel, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. How are you?
I'm great, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Senator.
You bet. Great to talk with you. I know that that you are a big tax elimination guy, and we're getting ready to start a new session, and you got your sights set on the earnings tax. Tell us what you're attempting to do in the new session as we kick off a new year.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, we've got several bills that are looking at a multitude of different tax reductions, but you're right. One of the bills I filed would repeal the earnings tax that's in St. Louis and Kansas City. And really, more than anything else, the idea behind that bill is I can't see a good reason why the people of St. Louis City and Kansas City don't deserve the same protections from certain forms of taxation, like an earnings tax at the local level, that everyone everywhere else in the state deserves and gets right now. And the impact of those two particular taxes has been pretty dramatically negative to the city of St. Louis and to a degree, I think, in Kansas City. And it's affecting us all the way out here in St. Charles, where I'm at. So we need to take an opportunity to move and push back from that. And I think it's going to be better not just for the city of St. Louis, but for the entire region and the state as a whole.
Senator, what would you say to the voters of St. Louis and the voters of Kansas City? I don't know if they've had a vote in Kansas City, but I know in St. Louis there was a recent vote to get rid of the earnings tax and the voters voted to keep it. What would you say to the voters who just say, Senator, you need to mind your own business? You live in St. Charles County. Why are you putting your nose into our affairs?
Well, because for some, to have a strong Missouri, we need strong urban cores. And the troubles in St. Louis City are pretty well documented. And when the St. Louis City is not strong, it has an impact all the way out here in St. Charles and beyond. So you can't say that the earnings tax is a local issue when it's affecting the entire St. Louis region and the state as well in a negative manner. And although I do understand that certainly the people of St. Louis have had their voice heard on this particular issue, 60% of that tax is paid by folks that don't live in St. Louis, and they didn't have a chance to get a voice in that issue, and they're suffering from the effects of that. But again, I really think this comes back to, why don't the citizens of St. Louis City deserve the same protections from certain forms of taxation that everybody else in the state of Missouri gets? We can't levy an earnings tax out here in St. Charles. That's against our state statute. But for some reason, just because you live in St. Louis, you don't get the same protection from taxation. It strikes me as incredibly unfair, and we're treating everybody differently based on just where they live.
Is this, if your bill passes, does the earning tax, is it phased out automatically? And what kind of suggestions could you suggest to the city of St. Louis to make up for the, which they claim, the $170 million a year revenue that tax brings in?
Right. First of all, it does phase it out over a period of time, so for 10 years. So this is not something that would necessarily happen overnight. If it's approved in its current format, the city will have 10 years to plan for the elimination completely of that particular tax. Now, as far as the $179 million, one of the things I think that immediately asking ourselves, how do we just replace the revenue, may be the wrong way to go. If you look at the city of St. Louis right now, they spend $3 for every $1 that St. Charles County and the five largest municipalities in St. Charles County spend. And we're spending them on the same things, police, fire, et cetera. And yet St. Louis City has 60,000 less residents than St. Charles County. So St. Charles County is a good template to look at of how you fund your government without requiring an earnings tax. And the problem may not just be that the fact that there's an earnings tax in St. Louis City. The problem may be that they're just spending too much money. And I would encourage them to look at literally every other municipality in the state that has gotten around not having an earnings tax to fund their government as a way to move forward.
Talking to Senator Bill Eigel, Senator Eigel, we have a supermajority in Jefferson City. And when I say you, I mean the Republicans. So do you think this is going to be an easy thing for you to get through? Do you have the support of your colleagues? And when do you think this would take place?
Well, first of all, change in government is never easy. And the wheels of government grind very slowly, particularly to ideas that have to do with revenue streams. So I don't expect any bill that I file that's going to push back on government by reducing some of the revenue coming into government is ever going to be an easy fight. We saw that with some of the income tax bills that I had last session that we were able to get over the finish line. We've got some new income tax bills that will reduce the income tax at the state level this year. Those are going to be similar difficult fights. But what it is doing is a couple things. One, we're highlighting a conversation that really needs to be had about should we be treating citizens differently and offering different citizens different protections from taxation just based on where they happen to live. And we're putting forth an overall agenda that if we do make success pushing back on the earnings tax or the income tax, we're going to make the urban cores of our city strong, and that will translate to positive economic benefits around the region and around the state. So this is the first step, and we've got a long road to go here, but I'm ready to get started.
Before we run out of time with Senator Bill Eigel, I wanted to change the subject a little bit, and I want to sort of cross the streams here for a second. So I host another weekend show here on the radio station called Second Amendment Radio, and it airs a couple hours before this one every Saturday at 3 o'clock, and we have spent a lot of time over the last couple of weeks on that show discussing what has been nicknamed red flag laws. And we know that Senator Jill Shupp and others have been pushing for some of these red flag laws. They've pre-filed them going into this new year. Without getting too deep in the weeds about red flag laws, essentially, strong Second Amendment folks would call them gun grab laws. We can get into it deeper if you want to, but mostly I just want to ask you, Senator Eigel, if you have your awareness up about these possible red flag laws, and is it something that you think that people that are big Second Amendment supporters in the state of Missouri need to worry about, or do you think that they, you know, don't really have a chance at passing in a state that does have that Republican supermajority I mentioned earlier?
Yeah, well, first of all, I've never been a believer that we can solve problems of crime and violence by restricting access to firearms for law-abiding citizens. Mm-hmm. And I have reviewed the bills that my colleague, Senator Shoup, has filed, and I know that she's very passionate about the issue. And on one level, I think we share a common theme of wanting to try to find ways to provide security, whether it's for our children, for our schools, for our businesses, for our communities. But at the same time, there's a lot of disagreement over what the right way to go about doing that is. I think if you look at many examples of history, the wrong way to do it is to start restricting access to a citizen's ability to protect themselves and protect their property. So I think that the odds that many of those bills will make it through the Missouri legislature are probably, that'll probably be an even greater challenge than what I'm looking at on the tax side of things.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have a discussion about what we can do that's in the proper role of government without infringing upon the Second Amendment and the rights of the citizens. And if there's a way that we can increase security, I'm all ears. So I'm not worried so much about what's going to happen internally in Missouri, but I do look at Washington, D.C. as a looming, ominous threat of always at risk of doing things that will infringe upon the right of the citizen. And for those of us down there in Jefferson City, we got to be ready to push back.
Mm-hmm. Senator, I've got a question for you. There has been talk, and I think a bill has been pre-filed for right to work.
Mm-hmm.
The voters have rejected that overwhelmingly in the last election. Do you feel that that bill should be refiled, or what's the next step with that, do you think?
Well, I know that that bill was filed by incoming Senator Eric Burleson, and I'm a huge Eric Burleson fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are almost every issue that I agree with Senator Burleson on, and I applaud him for refiling the right to work. You know, I understand, I acknowledge the results of that vote back in August on Prop A, but at the same time, just 2 years prior to that, the same folks of Missouri sent a supermajority and a governor to Jefferson City with the express intention of passing the right of work amendment. So, you know, it's one of those things that I think it's very appropriate to keep it in the conversation, and that's what Senator Burleson has done. I'm absolutely supportive of that. It's unknown at this point how far that bill's going to go, but I don't see any reason why we should just stop talking about a policy that could do a lot of good for our state and has done a lot of good for other states. So more to come on that, but I think at this point it's probably uncertain how far it goes this year or what the right timeline is when it will come back up.
Senator Igel, we're in a unique position here in the state of Missouri with having a governor that was not appointed, but, you know, not elected to that position. We have a lieutenant governor that's in a position that, you know, he wasn't elected to, and a treasurer, right? That
yes.
Also that
hard to keep track.
Well, yeah,
of it
we have a lot of positions of leadership, and I'm not, you know, it's just a unique situation. It's just the way things happen. It wasn't like anybody was up, you know, there wasn't. Nobody was up to no good. It was just a weird thing that has happened in the state of Missouri, a very unique situation we find ourselves in. Is there any additional challenge to governing? Is there any additional challenge when you sort of are in this unique position? You feel like there are more eyes on you because there are so many people that aren't in positions that are typically elected by the people, or is it business as usual in Jeff City?
Correct in that they weren't elected to the position they sit in, but I think everybody in Missouri understands the process when vacancies come open, whether it's in the governor's office or what have you, and how those are filled. And everyone is comfortable that they have had some voice in putting those individuals in positions of leadership as a backup to other positions of leadership. So I don't think it's going to be a drag necessarily on what they can accomplish. The number of eyes that are on public officials is always an immense number.
Sure.
And I certainly don't think it's going to be any less as folks take a look at if they're satisfied with our current leadership team and as they look towards 2020 to make a decision if they want to renew the lease that they have on these particular representatives. So the scrutiny is always great. And I have gotten a really, really good feel and sense for Governor Parson. I think he's a great diplomat for the state. You know, as he's done a great job in the transition from our former occupant down there. And, you know, in the coming year, he's certainly going to be tested on matters of policy. And he'll have an opportunity to demonstrate, and I think he's already off on a good start here, of what policies and what conservative principles he's going to stick to. So I look forward to working with him, and I think we're in a better place today with respect to the governor's mansion, certainly than we were a year ago.
Senator, you had a very interesting proposal to help out with our bridge and roads.
Mm-hmm.
They're in disrepair. We need help. We tried to put something on the ballot, and that didn't pass.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to see something in the legislature to try again, to try to get some money for our roads and bridges and infrastructure?
So I'll say yes and no. yes to the fact that are we going to see something that tries to put more resources towards our roads and bridges? Yes, we are. I think that there's a general consensus that we need to put more of our resources into our roads and into our infrastructure network. What I would say no to is if there's the thought process that we're going to be able to accomplish that by raising taxes somewhere or raising fees somewhere, I think that's probably more along the lines of a no. If you look at our state budget right now, we have a record amount of money coming in the door from a number of different sources, income taxes, sales taxes, fees, et cetera, et cetera. And the idea that with record revenues in hand that we need to go back to the voters or we need to pass a statute that's going to create an even larger tax burden, I think is not only not in line with our Republican principles, but it really gets away from the idea that we should be doing a better job with the money already coming in. So we have a series of things that I have either proposed in the past or that I'm looking at moving forward that will do a better job getting money to the roads that all of us are using every single day. But I'm probably going to be even more strident about pushing back against the idea of raising taxes, especially after the people of Missouri have weighed in on this subject twice in just the past 4 years. Mm-hmm. So yes and no. If I don't mean to make political speak, but yes and no. How about that?
No, it's good stuff. Real good stuff from Missouri State Senator Bill Igel. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Senator Igel, thank you so much for your time today. If people want to keep an eye on the things that you're working on as you try to take out this this earnings tax, or if they just want to follow you, do you have websites, social media, any way that people can keep up with what you're working on?
Social media, that's the new wave, right? I'm on Twitter at Bill Igel, and I'm on Facebook at Bill Igel as well. So unlike some elected officials, I'm always the one that's doing the actual responding, so you know you're always talking to
nice.
Me.
Nice.
Excellent.
Happy to engage.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Senator, and we hope to have you back again soon.
Happy to. We'll look forward to it. You guys have enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yeah,
thank you,
too.
Senator.
Thank you, Senator. Skip Weber is in the building, and the Weird News Challenge is next. Don't go anywhere. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Ryan knows to come in soft and easy to try to keep the excitement contained for as long as possible because this could get...
I'm nervous.
Things could really get out of control here really fast. Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo in studio with my partner Chris Arps.
Yes, sir.
And Skip Weber is back in studio with us.
Hello.
Hello. And Trish Gazelle.
Hello.
From 102.5, right. The Christmas music station. Yes.
I'm ready. This is a
so
big one today.
This is a big deal today. It is time for the Weird News Challenge.
Just another day. Just another game day for me.
The three competitors today, Chris Arps,
yes.
Skip Weber, and Trish Gazelle, are all tied at 5 victories apiece, one behind the great Katie Fitzpatrick, who has... forever been the all-time wins leader in this game, and somebody today, because they've all got 5 and somebody's got to win.
Somebody.
So somebody is going to tie Katie Bailey today and be a co-holder of that most wins title.
Can we also mention that I am so far in my Weird News Challenge participation undefeated.
We can mention that.
It's almost like saying, it's almost like Chris saying, I wasn't here, so you guys caught up. just because you win every time you're here, showing up is half the battle. Come on.
Right,
now.
Right.
You got to show up.
But well, Trish always wins in the first round.
Yeah.
I've done a couple things to make this an even more special edition. I've added a question.
Ooh.
So there's going to be 4 questions.
Good. I got a chance. Yeah. Uh-oh.
Before the tiebreaker.
Do we have any multiple choicers?
There is, and the last question is a multiple choicer, so there could
with
be extra
how many points.
Could as many as 10.
Wow.
Multiple choice or multiple answers acceptable.
Multiple acceptable answers. I guess, is the right way to say that.
Wow.
So this is a big deal.
Huh?
One of those questions where you can get multiple points.
I'm just playing stupid.
So this is going to be big. Who is going to catch Katie Fitzpatrick? And then the plan is to get Katie in here. To play.
That's a good idea.
And
if she has the guts.
Yeah. And
because
and
as you know, she requires that you read the whole question.
Yeah, the Katie Fitzpatrick rule, which I'm going to assume is suspended again. Yeah. Today,
sure.
Right, everybody? Yep. No yeah. Katie Fitzpatrick yeah. rule.
Exactly.
The Katie Fitzpatrick rule will for sure be in place when she comes back. So
why?
Get ready.
She'll no longer be the front runner.
Well, yeah, that's
why
right.
Why does she get to pick?
She may not. We might have to flip a coin at that point.
Exactly.
And Tony, for reference, when is the when is the last time Katie played the game?
Oh, months ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably 6 months ago, and she's still the all-time leader.
Okay.
That shows
well,
you her
the
dominance.
Well, the rest of us have been beating up on each other.
Sure.
So.
Well,
so,
you have not really been beating up on me. Yeah. I've been beating up on you.
When you show up. When you show up. I guess you decide what. When did I read all my news this week? Yeah, then I'll play. No, I didn't. So maybe I won't. That's. Some of us have
pen.
To be
Where's
here
my...
no matter what.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Okay. Pen because I might need to do some scorekeeping. All right, here we go. We're going to put this to bed right now. Who is going to tie Katie Fitzpatrick to become tied for the all-time most wins in the Weird News Challenge? It is the Weekend Report's Weird News Challenge, episode number 26, question number one.
Wait.
Oh, we didn't test buzzers.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry.
I'm too excited.
I'm too excited. Chris Arp, set your buzzer.
Ding, 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 ding.
Skip's got the ding dings.
Bloop.
And the bloop. Chris got the bloops. All right, here we go.
When you're 5-0, you can have any sound you want.
One more time. Weekend Report, Weird News Challenge, episode 26, question number one. President Trump hosted a group of elementary school children from around the country at the White House this week. While there, the kids got to ask questions in a little kid version of the daily press briefing. One second grader asked the president what his favorite color was.
Ding, 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 ding.
Skip Weber.
Magenta. The tie, his first tie.
Magenta.
Did you get it?
Magenta.
I missed that.
Which
one.
Is a light purplish red.
Yeah,
and
it's the first tie that Ivanka or
that is
Melania
correct.
Or somebody gave
he
him.
He said it was the first. It was the color of the first tie ever to give him by Ivanka when she was a little kid.
I just hate that Skip got the first one right.
Skip Weber off to an early lead. All right. Question number two. Kellogg's released a new
ding, 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 ding.
What?
Skip Weber! This is Trish Gazelle-like.
Did reindeer, you show him the answers?
Reindeer Raisin Bran.
Oh, wow. My God!
That is correct!
Is crazy!
Hold on.
You
Kellogg's
so
released a new seasonal
right
breakfast cereal last week that will only be in stores through Christmas. What is the name of this new festive cereal? Reindeer Raisin Bran.
You have a box. You have a box, don't you?
He's
did you buy a box of it?
I hate Raisin Bran.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big cereal guy.
He really studied this week because he knew
you know
I
what's
was
really
good.
Funny?
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much that I studied, is that Tony and I wrote those questions.
That was a setup.
And they're both totally made up.
That was a setup.
They're made up.
We set you guys up. We have not started the game yet.
They're completely
made up. We have not started the game yet. Look what I called it.
Completely
no,
made
what
up.
The Weird Weber Challenge.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Magenta.
Magenta.
Trump's favorite color is magenta.
You even went
how
on
about,
with, like, it's the first tie he got.
How about Reindeer Raisin Bran?
Reindeer Raisin Bran.
I wrote a couple really good fake questions.
You
didn't
did. I was like, I didn't hear that at all.
I mean, so I believable,
it, right?
Because
I wrote a couple
oh my
really good
God.
Fake questions.
All right, now I feel better.
Wow, I feel better, too.
Loving it.
Now we're doing. You guys played that off really good, too.
I sold it okay.
You did so.
That was great. That was great.
We're
that was
going,
Trish Gazelle-like.
All right, I'm gonna let you read the whole one on the first one because no one will get that anyway. If they breathe, and then I'll beep in instantly on the second one. That's what we'll do.
Yeah, like reindeer,
Raisin Bran.
I love it so much. That was good.
The color of the first tie given to him by Ivanka.
I can wipe stupid off my forehead now.
Kudos to Brendan.
All right, let's start the real game.
All right, there we go.
You sure? You positive this is the real game?
This is, well,
I don't want to be fooled anymore.
I guess we'll find out in a minute, won't we?
Yeah, right.
Here we go. Now I'm gonna get the scorebook ready to go for real because these are gonna be real points
awesome.
On the line.
That was awesome. You guys are so sneaky.
I was like, right. Skip really crammed for this one.
Exactly.
All right, four questions. That wasn't a lie. I'm gonna ask four. Added a question to this week's, and everything else I said before that was true. So here we go. Weird News Challenge, episode number 26, question number one, for real this time. What NBA superstar this week said that he does not believe
Stephon Curry?
Oh,
that is correct.
I knew that.
Chris Arps.
Very good,
See,
Chris.
See, you did a sports one.
Yeah.
He does not believe in the moon landing.
He does not believe in the moon landing.
And we talked about that on Mark Cox's show today.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
what question.
NBA superstar this week said he does not believe we landed on the moon? It was Steph Curry, the Golden State Warriors.
You know,
a spokesman from NASA has invited him to tour the lunar lab at the Johnson Space Center in Houston just to prove to him that we did.
You know who else doesn't believe in the moon landing?
Who's that?
Marshall Faulk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He didn't believe in it either. I don't know why.
Well, he's got an excuse, though. He played football, rattled the brains around a little bit, concussions.
I think this is the first time in the history of the Weird News Challenge that Trish Gazelle has been trailing.
I think so,
I don't think she's ever trailed at any moment of any game.
Are you getting nervous, Trish?
No.
Question number two. Think back a little bit, because this actually hit the news about 3 weeks ago. China's Xinhua news agency recently introduced its newest news anchor. What is different about this anchor than any other news anchor in the world?
Ding, 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 ding.
Skip.
I'm going to guess here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a robot.
That is correct.
Wow. Did you really guess?
Yeah.
Good job. I was going to say virtual reality.
I mean, come on. They're all, that's, everything's like robotics these days.
Do you know what my answer was going to be? They were transgendered.
No. AI. AI. The anchor learns from live broadcasting videos by himself and can read texts as naturally as a professional news anchor, according to the Xinhua news agency.
I don't like the way this is going at all.
Yeah.
At all.
I love it. I don't even have to win. Just as long as you don't win, I'm happy. As long as you don't win, I'm happy.
Rough.
No, I have to win or I'm not happy.
Yeah.
That's I'm not as good a sport as Chris.
All right, here we go. Question number three.
This is fun now.
835 musicians set a world record by playing Silent Night all at once this week, and they were all playing the same instrument. What instrument were they playing?
Ding. Bloop. I'm
Trish.
Guessing.
Yeah, oh, you're going to guess. All right.
Yeah, the violin.
That is incorrect.
Damn it.
She's a mess.
I am.
She's not good at playing from behind. She's not good at playing from behind.
It's that thing you guys set up at first.
There we go. Threw you off. Yep.
All right. As you guys know, there are no negatives.
How many were there? 800 and
835 musicians played Silent Night. They were all playing the same instrument.
I'm going to guess the recorder.
That is incorrect. It is not the recorder.
Can I ask a question?
A qualifying question? Yeah. No.
No.
No. Okay. Answer it or don't.
You may as well guess any instrument because it doesn't hurt you.
Was it a real instrument?
It's an instrument.
I'm thinking like bottles or something. You know how you blow on bottles or you know how they do that stuff? No.
You want to pick an instrument or not?
No, I don't.
You're going to sit this one out?
I'm going to sit this one out because I have no clue.
The tuba.
Yeah, I would have never guessed that.
How do you get 835 tubas in the same room?
Right.
That's what I was thinking. It's got to be something small. It can't be the piano. There's not 835 pianos.
No, nope, I got 835 tubas all in the same area.
The violin would have been.
I had nothing.
The previous record was 502 tubas, and that was set in
2007. What's wrong with just going to 503? Why do you got
to
beat it by 300 tubas?
That's a good question.
Why do you got to beat it by 300 tubas?
Musicians ranged in age from 11 to 86.
Wow.
All right, fourth question.
Wow, okay.
Right now,
can I even make up?
Yeah, because it's worth 10
possible points.
Okay, okay.
There's 10 possible points.
You can still run away with it.
And if there's a tie at the end, we will go to the tiebreaker.
Okay.
All right, so first person that buzzes in will get a chance to answer as many as they can before getting one wrong. Then there'll be another buzz in, and that person can answer as many as they can until they get one wrong.
Okay.
And then if there's still ones left over, even the third person will get a chance to answer. So here we go. Question number four, final question. It wouldn't be Christmas without at least one emergency trip to Walgreens.
Batteries.
Oh my God!
Wine.
This is here she goes.
Here she goes.
She knows this one.
I give up.
This is standard Trish Gazelle. All right, here we go.
Batteries.
I will not finish the question because Katie Fitzpatrick. Batteries is yes one.
Wine.
Yes, that's yes. Number
wait, did
four
you say there
on
were
the
10?
List. There's 10, and you
okay.
just got number one and number four.
Milk.
That's number two. Hold on. Yep.
Gravy.
This is how she goes. Wow, that's number seven.
Are you serious?
Holy smokes.
Bread.
Number three on the list. Wow. This is vintage Trish Gazelle here.
Ice.
Incorrect.
Oh.
All right. So, okay, there's one, two, three, four, five things left on this list. One of you needs to get four.
Do they get the rest of the question or no?
No, he already buzzed in.
He does not get the rest of the question. Yeah. You don't get the rest of the question because you buzzed in already.
Cigarettes.
Incorrect.
What? You need cigarettes after Christmas Eve?
Can I please have the rest of the question?
I will read the rest of the question for Skip, and he's got to get at least four of them to tie
I'm not gonna get
Trish Gazelle. It wouldn't be Christmas without at least one emergency trip to Walgreens to buy something you forgot. A new survey found the top 10 things we're most likely to rush out to buy on Christmas Day.
On Christmas Day.
On Christmas Day. Trish Gazelle already got batteries, milk, bread, wine, and gravy, of all things. There are still five things left on the list.
Let's go with soda.
Incorrect.
Oh. Can I guess again?
Too bad.
I know now.
Too bad.
Wow.
I just won.
She
God,
didn't.
I love it. I just had to sit there for the first three.
What a teaser.
She
I
was.
Thought I was going to win.
Everybody
I thought I was going to lose.
Everybody thought
I want to know this website
once.
Where you guys get these lists from so I can study.
Can I just guess one?
She was not.
Can
doing
I guess
good
one?
Until the
greeting
end.
Cards?
Nope.
You, like, no. Christmas cards?
Yeah, box if of it was chocolates. Christmas Eve, it would be one thing. I was going to have different guests for Christmas Eve. But
a box of chocolates, scotch tape.
See, that, I thought scotch tape, but Christmas Day, no. Christmas Eve, I would have said that. Yeah.
Wrapping paper.
Yeah. And that's the same thing. I thought paper and I should have just said it.
It says other food for dinner.
Which would be?
And then
soda. That would be.
Soda's not a food.
That's a drink.
Soda for dinner.
And someone's present is the last thing on the list. Trish Gazelle.
That was
has
disappointing.
Won thank
her
you.
Sixth
thank you.
Straight.
That was extremely disappointing.
Let's do the tiebreaker just for the fun of it.
It wasn't looking good.
I go
so
the,
close, but so far.
I go through the trouble of writing them, so let's do it. A new study discovered who people spend the most money on when they buy Christmas presents. Not surprisingly, the group that scored the largest percent in the survey was kids. But what percentage was it? In other words, what percentage of Americans say they spend more money on their kids at Christmas than anyone else? What percentage of Americans say they spend more money?
Now, does that take into
money...
effect that you might be interviewing people who don't have kids?
Yes, it would take that into effect. So what percentage of Americans say they spend more money on kids, their kids, at Christmas than anyone else?
I want to throw out 62%.
Okay.
73.
Okay.
61%.
Chris Harps would have won. It's 34%.
Oh.
Surprisingly low.
But it still was the highest.
It is surprisingly. 19% says they spend most on other family members. 16% say they spend it on significant others. 13% on grandchildren. 7% say they spend it on themselves. So, yeah, that is it. Trish Gazelle.
Thanks.
Get out of here.
And she's gone.
Good job.
That's how you do it.
Now. The winner is now leaving.
Drop the mic and walk
out
the door.
Wow.
How do you guys feel about that?
I don't like that.
She was on
list.
The ropes.
Right.
She looked
under the ropes.
She looked defeated.
And then the list comes out that she had just obviously read this morning.
Yeah. It was.
She had that
I mean,
ready.
If you know gravy, that's
was,
not even a guess. No, that's what I'm saying.
That was classic Trish Gazelle.
It's not even a guess. Is it? Right.
The gravy kind of gives it away. Yeah. It's like, come on.
It's not
a,
well,
or that
listen.
She knew that what he was asking before.
Yeah.
You know, that well, gives. So that's which
guys,
is part. That's all. You know,
you guys will
fair.
Have another chance next week to catch her.
Yeah.
Maybe she won't be here.
Yeah,
that's the best shot you got.
No, because you said next week we'll have Katie.
Hopefully we can get Katie.
Well,
I don't know if it'd be next week.
Play, okay, yeah.
But yeah, right. We'll get her in here.
That was really disappointing because I thought I had a chance.
You had her on the ropes, guys.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
had her beat.
I know.
All right, got to take a quick break. More weekend report to go. Got a couple deflated guys in the studio, but we'll see what we can do about that. Don't go anywhere. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Cause I'm That's right. Welcome back to the Weekend Report.
Theme song.
That's right. Perry and the Wailers.
Perry and the Wailers.
I mean, Skip Weber is remaining in studio with us. One more segment to go here before we leave, and then you'll have about a half an hour and to take a little break, and then at 7:30, Close Encounters, the number one music show on a talk station in the world, starring Mark Close and Skip Weber, will take over. Anything you want to tease about this week's show?
No.
All right. Very good.
Very good. Some very good songs lined up. I've got a very good choice. Not so much obscure group, but not their most famous song, but
I
just love it. So
I like it. Well, don't go anywhere. Close Encounters at 7:30 right here on FM News Talk 97.1. Got some stuff I want to talk to the both of you about, but before we do that, what is happening at Weber Chevrolet?
All month long, GM employee price for everyone. It's very, very easy to get to. It's very easy to see. It's a huge discount. The discounts are as big as our Black Friday, but instead of us doing all the work, Chevrolet in Detroit is doing the work for us and giving us this price, which means that to set ourselves apart, we are now giving more money for trade-ins than anybody else to make the greatest deal possible. I mean, it really is an awesome deal. And Chevrolet does it every now and then. They don't do it for very long. I can almost guarantee that it will not be continue to January because it costs them a ton of money.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Right. It's a huge incentive. All the discount incentive is coming from Chevrolet. When you take $14,000, $15,000 off a Silverado, that's all coming from Chevy.
Right. And then Weber Chevrolet gives the best deals on trade-ins.
Right.
And
yeah, because we're not allowed to deviate from the price.
Right. And now
you're
not going to find a better deal anywhere else.
Exactly. And so the neat thing about it is there's tons of vehicles out there. It's not picked over inventory. Lots of stuff to choose from. And, you know, there's a lot of times when dealers will say, there'll be promotions out there. Oh, I buy it dealer price, or employee price. No. Unless it's a national employee price, you can't do it.
Right.
You can't
and
do
this
what,
is legit.
This is legit, yeah. So I was really happy when they did that because, you know, they've been a little bit lighter on the
incentives. Great way to close out the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, don't miss the opportunity. Go to the closest Weber Chevrolet to you, of course, Creve Coeur, Granite City, and Columbia, Illinois. And I'm going to give one more shout out. We talked about it last week, but the service department out there at all three locations. I go to the Creve Coeur store. My buddy Sean Chambliss out there always takes care of me. But the Weber Chevrolet service departments are second to none. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Even if you don't have a Weber Chevrolet, they take care of
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. We'll take care of everybody.
So good. Yeah. It's the best service department there is.
And out at the Creve Coeur store, Aunt Bee bakes cookies.
Yeah.
Yes, she does. Yes,
so
she
does.
That's a big thing for
the
me.
Service women. You're right.
I want to talk to you guys about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I know that's a point of interest for Skip, but I did want to follow up real quick before that. You remember last week on the Weird News Challenge, we talked about the deal to get a one-penny Whopper? From Burger King,
yes.
You had to order it on the app. You had to be at a
McDonald's. Yeah,
and then it told you how to get to the next. It told you how to get to the closest Burger King, and then
you got a
one penny. Something went wrong on the Burger King app, and some guy got charged $1,100 for a Whopper.
Mm, really?
He was supposed to get charged a penny. And
he left McDonald's.
It overcharged his account.
And then paid $1,100.
It overcharged his account because he didn't have $1,100 in the bank. So he thought he was getting double check the 1 cent Whopper deal before you. Exactly. Isn't that funny?
Make sure you have $1,100 in your account before you try it. Just
all right. We have about 5 minutes left in this segment, and so we're going to use those 5 minutes to debate because this happens every year. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame releases their latest class. There's always debate on who should have gotten in, who shouldn't have gotten in, and then there's also the debate that we've had on this show and others about it's called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so should it be only for rock and roll artists? This year's class, 2018, The Cure, Def Leppard, Janet Jackson, Stevie Nicks, Radiohead, Roxy Music, and The Zombies. Nominees that didn't make it, Devo, John Prine, Kraftwerk, LL Cool J, MC5, Rage Against the Machine, Rufus and Chaka Khan, and Todd Rundgren. Skip, what do you think about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Well, first of all, you know me. I'm a ridiculously fanatical rock and roll fan.
Absolutely.
Okay. I like all music. I go to a lot of country concerts.
Sure.
I've been to some hip-hop concerts, orchestra, symphony, all that. I like all music. But rock is my first love, and rock is what I know the most. And here's my problem with the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Go to the Baseball Hall of Fame and see how many people. There's a lot of people in the Baseball Hall of Fame. A lot of people out of thousands and thousands of people who have played the game.
Mm-hmm.
If we keep adding 5 and 6 and 7 people every year to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they do that so they can have a good special on cable.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
You're going to have, I mean, you're literally going to have every group that was not a one-hit wonder.
Right.
Is going to be.
Well, that's
look,
what, when I saw Devo on the list, well, I was like, okay, Devo has won.
Here's an example. The Zombies.
Yeah.
I like the Zombies. I probably know more songs by the Zombies than your average person. Most people think She's Not There.
But are they Hall of Fame worthy?
No.
Right.
They were a good band. They were a British Invasion band. They came over the same time as the Stones and the Who and all those. They don't deserve to be there. Why isn't Marmalade there? Well, maybe they only had 1 or 2 hits. Why? There's a lot of other groups. They don't deserve it. I think Def Leppard's on the bubble.
Yeah.
And maybe Radiohead because they're different than most people there.
What about rap groups?
I'm not really for it, but
because it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Because it's rock and roll.
Should be a separate.
Yes. I'd love there to be a hip-hop Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is someone will probably open one up pretty soon, but then rap artists will still be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but then, like, Rush is not going to go to hip-hop because it's a more narrow definition. So I don't know. I mean, but my problem is Hall of Fames are self-defining institutions. So you look at it. Once you have a few classes of Hall of Fames, now you say, who do you want to put in? Let's look at who's in there right now. Who compares to them on different genres, different styles, whatever you want to say. And just to say, here's a whole bunch of artists that haven't been nominated yet. Can any of them get in? Do we like any of them? That's what I feel like they're doing. None of these people. Compared to, in my book, the Beatles, the Stones, Who, the Eagles.
I totally agree that there is always people that don't deserve it. It should be maybe 2 or 3
You should say, we're going to put 1 or 2 a year at the most.
And they need to be elite.
And the answer might be 0.
I have no problem with rap because here's the thing with me. I long ago just determined that it's the Music Hall of Fame and it dropped the words rock and roll. That's why.
But there's not any country artists because the Grand Ole Opry already has that. But I get it. No, I'm kind of cool with that too. I'm even kind of cool with Janet Jackson as a pop star, not a, you know, that's all okay. But the truth of the matter is there's too many people in there. It's not a Hall of Fame anymore. It's just a museum.
Right.
It's a museum of here's some artists. And like I said, 5 years from now, it's going to be, there's not enough new music coming out, and that comes out doesn't stick as long as it used to. There's so many people make it big on one record and stop, and so there's not a body of work. It's just going to become here's everybody who wasn't a one hit wonder.
Mm-hmm. You make a lot of good points. Good stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Take a break for 30 minutes and then come right back here. More Skip Weber with Mark Close. Close Encounters starts at 7:30. Stick around for that, and we will see you next Saturday at 3 o'clock. For Chris Arps and Ryan Wiggins, I am Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening to another edition of The Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1.